Mother's Day. There's one thing everybody has in common in here. Unless you were born hatched at Purdue, everybody's got the same thing in common. Okay? By the way, 1959 was a good year for Purdue. Is everybody's got a mama. Amen? Good, bad, or ugly, everybody's got a mama. Amen? That's right, everybody. That's so cool. Everybody's got a mama. Before I turn it over to the ladies, I want to tell you something. Just in case you didn't, I'm going to talk about a mother's attitude. Okay, just shortly. Won't take long. A mother's wardrobe. The first baby, you begin wearing maternity clothes as soon as your doctor confirms your pregnancy. Second baby, you wear regular clothes for as long as possible. Third baby, your maternity clothes are your regular clothes. Guys are laughing, but the ladies aren't. I'm sorry. Okay. Mama preparing for birth. First baby, you practice your breathing religiously. Second baby, you don't bother practicing because you remember that last time breathing didn't do a thing. The third baby, you ask for an epidural in your 8 months. The baby's clothing. The first baby, you pre-wash your newborn's clothes, color coordinate them, and fold them neatly in the baby's little bureau. Second baby, you check to make sure the clothes are clean and discard only the ones with the darkest stains. Third baby, boys can wear a pink, can't they? Pacifier. First baby, if the pacifier falls on the floor, you put it away until you can go home and wash it and boil it. Second baby, when the pacifier falls on the floor, you squirt it off with some juice from the baby's bottle. Third baby, you wipe it off with your shirt and pop it back in. Little dirt never hurt anybody. Diapering. First baby, you change the baby's diaper every hour whether they need it or not. Second baby, you change their diaper every 2 or 3 hours if needed. Third baby, you try to change their diaper before others start to complain about the smell. Or you see it sagging to their knees. Two more, I'll be through. Going out. First baby, the first time you leave your baby with the setter, you call home every 5 minutes. Second baby, just before you walk out the door, you remember you have a number where you can give her the number where you can be reached. Third baby, you leave instructions for the setter to call only if she sees blood. Finally, at home. First baby, you spend a good bit of every day just gazing at the baby. Second baby, you spend a bit of every day watching to be sure your older child isn't squeezing, poking, or hitting the baby. The third baby, you spend a little bit of every day hiding from the children. All right. Vicky, who's coming up here? Somebody's coming up here. One of them's coming up here. I think they're drawing straws right now. I'm not sure. Well, you don't have to, but you got to be loud so we can hear you. You got to be loud so we can hear you. Yeah, I remember my mother was my first glimpse of God until I was out of the house. She told me that she could make it be the last glimpse of God, too. My nickname was Cricket. She would go, Cricket! I knew I was in trouble. Okay. And you know, you've heard Bill Cosby say it. My mama said it before he did. Son, I brought you in this world, and I will take you out. Two children ordered their mother to stay in bed one Mother's Day morning. As she lay there looking forward to breakfast in bed, she could smell the bacon as it floated up from the kitchen. But after a long wait, she finally went downstairs to investigate. She found both of her children sitting at the table eating bacon and eggs. They said, it's a surprise for Mother's Day. We decided to cook our own breakfast. Missed it by that much. And if you got Mighty Army this morning, here's what Mighty Army was. If evolution really works, how come mothers only have two hands? Amen? Mm-hmm. You're very brave. And I messed up. I forgot to put the power to this. I'll just stand behind it. Ready? Come on. Let's go. We can get this thing working one way or the other. It's supposed to be working. There, didn't. Get back up there.
My mom is the silliest. My mom makes me get big and strong.
She goes on roller coasters even though she doesn't even want to go on them.
She just does funny stuff and occasionally tickles us.
She gives me this one note that I keep in my backpack. Dear Katie, I love you every day so, so much.
I can tell my mom anything.
My mom's the best because she gives me bubblegum and she doesn't let my brother have it.
I like it when she takes me to Chuck E. Cheese.
She does the best scary stories. Boom!
She always says, stay calm, you can do it.
And when we have special dates, it makes it special days.
My mom is a beautiful princess.
I love mom.
I can thank my mom for being my mom.
Thanks for letting me lick this room.
For teaching me knock-knock jokes.
For always helping me look on the bright side.
For making me feel special.
For helping me clean up my mess.
For rubbing my back before I go to sleep.
Thank you, mom. I give my mom big smooches.
You're the best.
You're one of my best friends.
You're one of my best friends.
Happy Mother's Day, Mommy.
You saved Mommy.
I was doing it in the microphone.
I was so bright.
Hello.
Yeah, I can hear you.
How can you hear me?
Yes, I'm so young.
I think my mic was stuck.
Yeah, my mama, when we would get, one day we got really aggravated, me and my brothers, we've been fighting all day. Mama said, instead of me whipping y'all like I normally do, we're going to try something different. I said, okay, Mom, what are we going to try today? She said, we're going to try telling some jokes. I said, really? She said, yeah. She said, the joke we're going to tell today, the first one we're going to tell is a knock-knock joke. I said, okay, Mama, how you want us to do it? She says, we're going to do it by example. I want y'all to go outside and holler knock-knock and hit on the door. We went outside and hollered knock-knock and nobody answered. Mama said, I had enough. Of course, I was the angel of the bunch. All right, get your Bible out to Genesis. Genesis 24. Genesis 24. Kind of talked about this a little bit last week when I was talking about, just a couple of days ago, I was at Walmart and I thought I had a parking space. Every empty parking space was empty because it was full of shopping carts. You couldn't pull in. Your shopping carts everywhere. And the sad thing was right next to it was the shopping cart return. So instead of just taking three steps and putting shopping cart return, they just leave it by their car. And I happened to see a lady. I walked all the way. I took my cart all the way across the parking lot and put it up at the store. And I saw another lady. She took hers and she walked all the way across. And I looked at her and I said, that is so awesome. And she said, I said, you took time to put the cart up. That doesn't say a lot to many people, but that says a lot to people that want to park their car and not get it beat to death. And also it says a lot that you're a servant. You have a servant's heart. So you got a chance to minister to the lady too. But God looks at servant hearts, and mothers have servant hearts. But this is going to take it even deeper, okay? Genesis 24. Y'all can, since it's Mother's Day, women, y'all stay down. Guys, y'all stand. Yeah, ladies, y'all stay down. Y'all get the rest. Okay. Genesis 24. And Abraham was old and well stricken in age, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. And Abraham said unto this eldest servant of the house that rules over all he had, put, I pray thee, thy hand under my thigh, which is a sign of covenant, and I'll make thee swear by the Lord, that the God of heaven and the God of earth, that thou shalt not take a wife unto the son of the daughters of the Canaanites, among whom I dwell. But thou shalt go into my country and to my kindred and take a wife unto my son Isaac. And the servant said unto him, peradventure, the woman will not be willing to follow me unto this land. Must I needs bring this son again unto the land from whence thou camest? And Abraham said unto him, beware that thou bring not my son hither again. And the Lord God of heaven, which took me from my father's house and from the land of my kindred, and which spoke unto me, and it swearing to me, saying, unto thy seed I will give you this land. He shall send his angel before thee, and thou shalt take a wife unto my son from thence. And if the woman will not be willing to follow thee, then thou shalt be clear from this my oath. Only bring not my son thither again. And the servant put his hand under the thigh of Abraham his master, and sware to him concerning that matter. And the servant took 10 camels of the camels of his master, and departed, for all the goods of his master were in his hands. And he arose and went to Mesopotamia unto the city of Nahor. And he made his camels to kneel down without the city by a well of water at the time of evening, even the time that women go out to draw water hither. And he said, O Lord, my master, Abraham, I pray thee, send me Godspeed this day and show kindness unto my master Abraham. Behold, I stand here by the well of water, and the daughters of the men of the city come out to draw water. And let it come to pass that the damsel to whom I shall say, let down thy pitcher, I pray thee, that I may drink, and she shall say, drink, and I will give thy camels drink also. Let the same be she that I has appointed for thy servant Isaac. And thereby shall I know that thou hast showed kindness unto my master. And it came to pass, before he had done speaking, that, behold, Rebekah came out, who was born to Bethuel, the son of Milcah, the wife of Nahor, Abraham's brother, with her pitcher upon her shoulder. And the damsel was very fair to look upon, a virgin, neither had any man known her. And she went down to the well and filled her pitcher and came up. And the servant ran to meet her and said, Let me, I pray thee, drink a little water of thy pitcher. And she said, Drink, my lord. And she hasted and let down her pitcher upon her hand and gave him to drink. They carried the pitcher on their shoulders, 5 gallons they carried on their shoulder. And when she had done giving him drink, she said, I will draw water for thy camels also until they have done drinking, until they're full. Okay? And she hasted and emptied her pitcher into the trough and ran again unto the well to draw water and drew for all his camels. And the man, wondering at her, held his peace, to wit whether the Lord had made his journey prosperous or not. And it came to pass, as the camels had done drinking, that the man took a golden earring and a half a shekel of weight and 2 bracelets for her hands of 10 shekels of gold, and said, Whose daughter art thou? Tell me, I pray thee, is there room in thy father's house for us to lodge in? And she said unto him, I am the daughter of Bethuel, the son of Milcah, which she bare unto Nahor. And I just stop it right there. Let's pray. Father, I love you. I praise your name. I thank you for your grace. I thank you for your mercy. I thank you, God, that you're alive and well on the throne, Father. And I thank you, God, that nothing is impossible for you. Nothing. I thank you, God, that for our mothers, that none of us would be here if it hadn't been for our mothers. None of us. And whether our mother was always there, or whether our mother was pulled away for some reason, or whether it's through death or injury or whatever, we still thank you, because it's because of them that we're here. I ask you to bless each person this day, God, and help them understand that God has a very special place in his heart for mothers. And when you see the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit, or the Holy Ghost, if you look in that, the Father, of course, he is the Father, and we represent God the Father. But the nurturing of the Holy Spirit, the wife, the mother, represents that. We thank you for all of it. In the name of Jesus, we pray. The church said, Amen. You can be seated. On the way down, tell somebody, glad to be in the house of the Lord. Yep. Yep. Y'all ready? Here we go. Yep. Now, today's Mother's Day. Again, it comes once a year to be celebrated, but we should celebrate our mothers every day. Amen. So it's Mother's Day again. So now here I'm going to get up here and I'm going to try to make everybody feel below standard, make them feel far from perfect, never able to reach, what you could be as a mother, but that's not going to happen today. Amen. It is not going to happen. I'm not here to make you feel bad. I promise you that there's no way to be a perfect mother, but a million ways to be a good one. Amen. Amen. And you don't have to have a baby to be a mother, because God gives us that mothering instinct. And whether you've actually birthed a child or adopted a child, there's somebody in your life, whether you birthed or not, there's some that you automatically seem to adopt. And when you adopt that child, whether it be like Bethany, which we legally adopted, or other people in your life that you just adopted, a coworker, a friend, a neighbor, when this happens, again, the mother instinct takes over and the mother in you comes out. God put the mother in all of the mothers. Amen. The mothering instinct is there. Sometimes I wonder, and sometimes I wonder, God put the fathering instinct in fathers, and sometimes I wonder, but if you dig deep enough, it's in every mother and in every woman and in every man. Okay? So now let's get going kind of fast here. I'm going to kind of take it kind of quick. Rebecca picked her today because, watch this, she's far from perfect. She come from a dysfunctional family, was getting ready to go into a dysfunctional family. Anybody got a dysfunctional family in here? Everybody raise your hands. Look, everybody's got some type of dysfunction in your family. My family put the funk in dysfunctional. All right, foot loose. I stick it in my mouth, foot loose. All right. She showed favoritism. She could be deceitful. You'll find out later in life how deceitful she was. But God chose this woman that was not perfect. She was from a dysfunctional family. She showed favoritism and she could be deceitful. He still chose to use her anyway. Give the Lord a good hand. Amen. Now's a good time you can look at. No, don't. Say, so, see, God can use you. Don't do it to anybody. All right. It was her attitude. Listen to this now. It was her attitude before she had ever seen Isaac that makes her stand out. Amen? It's the reason that God used a less than perfect woman to give birth to a great nation. Y'all look at those signs I put up there. Let's see. Ready? Let's see. Watch this. Here it goes. Let's see these signs. Ready? Let's see. I've been lovely, but I have not had... What was that? Let's see that again, that sign. It's going by so fast. I've been lovely, but I have to scream now. I am one mom away from making the 6 o'clock news. Woo! All right. So now, Genesis 24:17-19. Then the servant ran to meet her and said, please let me drink a little water from your jar. And she said, drink, my lord. And she quickly lowered the jar to her hand. It was up here. She lowered it down. She gave him the drink. And then when he had finished giving him a drink, she said, now I'll draw water for your camels until they're finished drinking, until they're full. Y'all say full. Full. Okay. So what she didn't realize was, and what we don't realize, when we do that little extra, when you're in Walmart and you take the cart and instead of just pushing it, I watched a young lady the other day. I'm not kidding. I'm sitting in my car getting ready to get out and there was something, or a song was on or something. So I was waiting for the song to get through before I got out of the car. And I watched her. She got in her car and she turned around and just flung the cart across the parking lot. I'm not talking about she just left it beside her car. She flung it and it went all the way across the parking lot. And I never got a chance to finish seeing where it went, whether it hit a car or not. Wow. That made me so aggravated to see that. But it's even, look, so you never know when you take the time out, even as a shopping cart at Walmart, or you knock something off the shelf and you pick it back up. Sometimes when you're walking out of Walmart, you walk behind people or in food line that they've knocked stuff over and haven't picked it up. And I'll be trying to pick it up because I, number one, don't want to slip on it. And number two, unless it's a dirty diaper or a Kleenex, I ain't picking that up. But yeah, that's good. That's a good habit to get in. Don't pick up dirty diapers. Amen. But if I see somebody knocked over something, I'll pick it up and put it back on the shelf. And you know what? God is watching. You say, well, how's that spiritual? God is watching your heart. God is watching your actions. God is watching your attitude. Do they all match up? So opportunity is coming to this woman now. So watch this. So this is cool stuff. And I'll hurry up, kind of. I'll try anyway. When opportunity comes to you, watch this. It's made up of, opportunity from God is made up of three things. Number one, it's made up of growth. Number two, it's made up of service. And number three, it's made of promotion. So when God sends an opportunity, it'll cause you to grow, but you grow because you serve. Y'all say serve. And when you serve, God brings promotion. So one of the stars of this story is Rebecca. Amen? Don't y'all feel good now I didn't pick some perfect person to use as a mother today? I picked an abnormal person, one that probably helped write the book of abnormal psychology, okay? She's one of the poster childs. Watch this. Another star in this story, often overlooked, is camels. I'm not talking about cigarettes either. I'm talking about camels. The servant came and had 10 camels loaded down with bear. He was ready. When he got that girl, he was going to be able to get a diary to the parents. They were ready to go. So watch this now. Why is camels even mentioning this? Why didn't he just say, I'll just water your dogs or I'll water your, no, I'm going to water your camels. Didn't say horses, didn't say oxen. I'm going to water your camels. Watch this. Camels are awkward. They're big. They're ugly. They don't have any manners. They will bite you. They will step on you and they will spit on you. Did you know that? Camels are not nice and cuddly things. Unless you get one from the Dollar Tree, that little thing you get like that, or go to Walmart in the stuff toy section, You get a real camel, it's going to hurt. I took DC and Daniel to a petting zoo one day. And in the petting zoo, there was not a camel, but a llama. And I'm sitting here, and I'm thinking, oh, how sweet they look until that thing stepped on my toe. It looked like it weighed 10 pounds. It felt like it weighed 150. So here's the camel. No manners. They bite. They step on you. They spit on you. Woo! Guess what? Get ready. Get ready. Guess what? Ready? God is sending camels into your life right now. Some of y'all got camels in your life right now and didn't realize it. Maybe you'll realize it before the service is over. Some of them, God's already sent you camels. Some of them, He's going to send you more camels into your life. These camels are persons, places, or things. Okay? And when these camels are sent into your life, they're always associated with growth, with service, and promotion. Amen? I made a little montage here. Look at there. Larry Curly and Moe Camel. Guess what day it is? Watch this. Look, guess what day it is? This is what happens when you don't know what day it is. You get your head bit off. Look, I made them fast. Look, I made them too fast going through them, trying to hurry up. Look, who else wants to know what day it is? There's a woman with a chair. A camel holds 25 gallons of water a day, or drinks 25 gallons of water a day. Mom, guess what day it is? It's Mother's Day. Okay. Camels everywhere. Happy Mother's Day. Ready? Here we go. Y'all ready? All right. We're going to go through it kind of quick so we can get off and do off with our mothers. You know, go take them to lunch or do something, cook for them. Okay. God used the camel to bring opportunity, number one, for growth. You see, sometimes God sends a giant. Anybody had any giants in their life lately? You find it being David, and there's a Goliath sent to you. But then sometimes God sends a camel, like Rebecca. They're always for growth. And watch this. All we can see, if we're not looking, is the big giants or the stinky camels. But watch this. I love it. Okay, service. Watch this now. Rebecca understood this, or didn't even know until she got doing it. Flexing our servant muscles is the quickest way to please God. It's the quickest way to grow in Him, by being willing to be a servant. You know, I honestly have a hard time with people that think that everybody was put on this earth to serve them. Drives me nuts. Absolutely drives me nuts when there's somebody, you know, that thinks everybody's here to make life easy for them and comfortable for them and do everything for them. But God is watching people that are willing to step out of their comfort zone and help other people. Okay? So now, let's just go a little bit further here. We live in a world of average. Matter of fact, I've got it going so fast, I'm going to let it go. Just let it go. We live in a world where average is now the new normal. Amen? There's 7 million jobs open now, and we can't fill them. Why? Average is the new normal. People just want to get by or let you do it for them. Everywhere. Everywhere. It drives me crazy sometimes when I go into stores or when I'm being waited on by somebody behind the counter, and instead of waiting on me, under the counter they're doing this. We were told at Fountain, and I told my people, you bring a phone to work, you're gone. And you're trying to talk to them, and they're going, huh? Or you had a drive-through, and they're busy talking to somebody else, and you put your hand up for the change, and but you know what? That's the time we live in. It's just crazy. It drives me up the wall. And when I see it, I can't help but just get ill when I see this stuff. Because, listen, Jesus was against average. Did y'all know that? Jesus doesn't like average. He says in Matthew 5:41, he says, I want you to go the extra or the second mile. And of course, y'all that being here know what that is the second mile is the Romans were in control of Israel at this time. And the Romans, literally, the Roman soldier could get before a man, child, woman, it didn't matter. He could take his heavy pack and he could drop it. And wherever he dropped it, you had to pick it up and you had to walk a mile, carry it a mile for him. Didn't ask you, said they compel you to go a mile. The word compel means literally to put you in service. So the Romans could just drop their load. You'd have to carry the load for them 1 mile. The children of Israel taught their children how to step off a mile. So when they got rid of that mile, when they got in that mile, they could just drop it. But you know what? Jesus said, if somebody compels you to go a mile, you go the second mile. You know, Sister Rebecca means to be captured by beauty, but she was not only beautiful on the outside, she was beautiful on the inside. You know, the reason Daniel did so good, it said that he had an excellent, excellent spirit. So service, you know, watch this. Here's what she did. First thing she did was she went beyond the normal stopping points. This well was crowded. Crowded. If you look at the geography and where they're talking about, she had to run. The Bible says she ran to the well. So she's a good distance from the well, and she had to climb because the Bible says, or history says, that the well was on a hill. So it's just crowded. She has to wait in line. She has to run to get to the well, and she got to run uphill because the well is uphill. That's just the normal stopping points. Now, that's the first mile. Let's talk about the second mile. Her service went beyond the abnormal stopping points. Let me just tell you this little story here. There was 10 camels. A camel will hold between 20 and 30 gallons each. They've been on a journey. They were empty. She had a 5-gallon pitcher. She had to stand in line. She was far away. She had to run uphill. She literally had to make 40 to 60 trips to water the camels for a stranger that didn't even ask her to water the camels. He just wanted water for himself. But his job, he told God, if she'll say, I'll do your camels too, I'll know that this is the one. Remember now, this is crazy. Who does this? Abnormal stopping points. 10 camels, 20 to 30 gallons each. They were filled till they were full. Okay? 5-gallon pitcher, had to stand in line. She's far away from the well. She has to go uphill 40 to 60 trips. It would take her between 2 and 3 hours to water those camels. Wow. Now you know why God knew who to pick. Let me ask you a question. Are you willing to go the second mile? Wow. So now, let's just go a little bit further here. That's right. That's right. That's right. So promotion comes. You see, watch this. She took time for service for camels. Big, hairy, ugly, step on you, spit on you. But soon, she didn't just service the camels. Soon, she owned those camels. Wow. She wore those camels with a sign to the servant, and it showed him that Rebecca had the characteristics of Abraham's family, that she had a servant attitude. Let me ask you a question. Do you have the family trait? Do you want to be a servant? You want to step beyond average? Then watch this. Camels are waiting. Look at them. The camels are waiting, and there's not a trough for them. Now you got to go there and bring it to them. And remember this, God is looking for that second mile person. Now, I know when you had your kids coming along, you went many times over second mile, and I'm talking to everybody. When your kids come along, you went the second mile over and over and over again. You know, I remember going the second mile over and again for my family. When my mama was sick, you know, especially when mama was sick, and then when Beverly was sick, and then when Bethany when she was sick, and Bethany, bless her heart, that year was almost like a blur because we couldn't even sit down and take a breath because it was just constant having to do something. And even now, I'm helping my wife take care of her mother and father. But you know what? I've learned that God's looking for a second mile person. He's watching for somebody that'll put aside their self. You ain't got to be perfect. Not a bit. Not perfect. But just have that attitude. God, you show me what I need to do and I'll do it. Look at that. It gets sweet. Guess what I just did? I just ended the sermon. Wow. Brandon, come up here and strum, bro. You the strummer. The other strummer had to strum off and take care of his bride and mother-in-law. He went the second mile. Everybody stand. It's always hard on Mother's Day to know exactly how to do the altar because it's so multifaceted. But I want everybody to close their eyes, bow their head, don't look around. First thing I need to ask before anything is there anybody in here, number one, that does not have the proper relationship with God? You know, I ain't got to tell you. I ain't got to beat you up with it. I ain't got to chase you down with a Bible and a cross in one hand and one in the other and beat you with it. You know that you and God are not right. You know that. And you want to make it right today. But nobody's looking around. I'm not going to call you up here. Just at your seat. If that's you here today, you know you're not in the right position with God right now. Would you put that hand up and say, pray for me? Bless them, Lord. Bless them. Bless them. Maybe you're here today, and because of everything getting so crazy, you may have had that servant heart, but you've let that servant heart sour. I have to fight it every day for my servant heart not to sour when I see average and below average is acceptable. Now, it drives me crazy. And I'll say, Lord, please don't let my servant attitude sour. So maybe you're here today, every head bowed, every eye closed, and you'd be honest and just say, you know what, Pastor, you're right. My servant attitude is beginning to sour or soured a long time ago. And I need God to help me take the sour and turn it back to sweet. Would you put that hand up? I need you to help me, Lord. Bless them, Lord. Bless them, Lord. Bless them. God is doing something special because this is the last roundup. This is, I really believe with all my heart, I just can't help but thank you. I've heard it all the years, but now with what I see going on around us, and then that cyber attack on the East Coast on the gas, did you notice gas went up like 20 cents a gallon last night because the East Coast, there was a cyber attack on the pipeline, and they said in a couple of days, there may not even be any gas. We're in the last day. We're here. And this may be our last Mother's Day together here. If you're here today and you want God just to boost you and encourage you and just do something new and fresh in your life, so you can be ready for what's coming. Nobody looking around, every head bowed. Would you put that hand up? I just want God to do something fresh, fresh and new, fresh and new, fresh and new. And then finally, if you have a mother here today, I can tell you, I don't know what in the world I would give for just one more hug from my mama. I lost her in 97. She was my spiritual partner a spiritual buddy when it come to the family. And it hurt to lose her, period, but even more because we had that spiritual connection along with that physical connection and emotional connection. If you're here today and your mother's here, you need just to grab her. If she's not here with you today, then you need to get a hold of her by phone or drive to her or something today. Don't let this day go by without expressing your love and thanks to her. Because she put up with more from you than anybody would. I can promise you that. And will still put up with stuff that the normal person wouldn't do. Let's all pray. Father, y'all pray with me. Father, help me to have a good attitude, a servant attitude. Help my attitude not to sour, but help it to stay sweet. Help me never settle for average. Help me to always seek to excel. Because Jesus told us to excel. He said, not only would our love for one another be a sign, but our service would be a sign to the world that He's in our hearts. Bless every mother here today. Bless them with long life. And Lord, let every child that's got a mother be sure not to let this day go by without letting that mother know how special she is. In the name of Jesus we pray. And the church said, amen. Isn't God good? All the time. Amen. Now, here's what I want you to do. First off, if your mother's here, go ahead and hug her. Go ahead and hug her. I didn't say mug her, I said hug her. You mug her all the time. Hug her now.